this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National Guard...
First time, we are bringing you the full story of what happened. We are giving you all the evidence based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your hearts stand the shocking facts of the true story of
Joshua P. Warren?
It's alive. From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it, we go in the field to investigate. Hey, here's an interesting story from Chicago. A Chicago factory was destroyed in a massive blaze just a few nights ago. The alarm broke out in the Archer Heights section of the city just after 9 p.m. Within 30 minutes, the building and that building also housed several businesses in addition to the factory was completely engulfed in flames. More than 150 firefighters responded to the scene. It was just a mess, but fortunately, nobody died. Nobody was even injured. But the whole thing has been damaged beyond repair. Now, why am I reading that on Speaking of Strange? It's because this factory is a fire extinguisher factory. So you can file that under ironic. But, you know, we have all kinds of strange things to talk about on the program tonight. That's what we specialize in. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and Use the Force. A Jedi's Guide to the Law of Attraction. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer is Sam the Animal Steel. Good evening, Sam.
Hey, buddy. How does the secret wisdom of Kukulkan feel about being booted off the list?
I know. It hurts me. It pains me to have to do that, to make that decision. But, you know, we're making history here tonight. And that's because today...
We make history every weekend.
Well, you're right about that. Today, August 1st, 2015,
the year of our Lord,
the official release day for my new blockbuster, Use the Force. And this is, I guess, my first official media appearance because of the book officially coming out today.
Part of the junket.
So this whole show, yes, we're going to talk about all kinds of weird things as usual, a plethora, a variety of diverse topics, but... A Star Wars-esque theme is going to run throughout the entire program. We're going to call this our special Use the Force edition of the program. And that means, hey, all the bumper tonight is going to be from the Star Wars movies.
Yes, but we're... Yeah.
We're going to sound classy when that happens. Did you notice this? Mm-hmm. It's going to be like John Williams is endorsing the show tonight.
Except John Williams has nothing
not,
to do.
He's not endorsing the show.
For legal reasons.
That's right. And write all litigation to Clear Channel.
iHeartMedia.
I'm sorry. Thank you. Yes, iHeartMedia. Well, actually, if it goes to Clear Channel, it won't make it to the right people. It'll get lost. In addition, we have a room full of Star Wars fans. Obviously, as usual, we have Investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop. How are you doing this evening, Shelley?
I'm doing great, and I'm so glad that your book has been released.
It really is
finally
exciting. I've published over 20 books. I've never been more excited about a book release than I am this one. I feel like it's the culmination of a lot of the things that I've been interested in my whole life, all coming together. And it's a practical guide that people can use to hopefully actually improve their lives in a way. And the very first person who got to read this book, who gets subjected to my process as I hammer these things out, is my wife, Lauren, who is one of the biggest Star Wars fans in the galaxy. And Lauren, so happy that you can be on the program tonight. How do you feel about the fact that as a Star Wars fan, your husband has a Star Wars-esque book out?
Made all my dreams come true, of course.
Finally?
Well, no, you know, you fulfilled
you're
dreams otherwise,
pleased.
But yes, this is pretty exciting
for me. Well, you and your brother as well. We'll have to talk,
yes.
Hour number two, about your connection with the Star Wars saga and your family's connection and your brother in particular. But, you know, the thing is, we all may have stories about what we love about the idea of the Force and the mythology behind it and even the science behind it and all the fond memories we have thanks to George Lucas and all the talent that has produced these over the years. And yet, none of us can really come close to living up to truly capturing the insight behind this saga like the chief occult researcher of the Asheville Mystery Museum, a man who is not only a great friend of mine and a partner in crime, but is actually a knight. Or he's a real knight himself. I have watched him be tapped on the shoulders with the sword. Sir Knight Tad McDivitt, you are going to be here tonight to give us your special perspective on the Star Wars saga, which we're especially going to dig into hour number two. But thank you for being here tonight. Hey, what's your initial reaction to what's happening here?
Well, I'm looking forward to reading the book, most certainly.
Well, it's a good thing I got you on here before you read the book.
Right.
Because you might not like it, and you'd be like, you have crapped all over my favorite thing. I really am curious to see how it's going to be interpreted, because so far, some people got a pre-release copy of the book. If
right.
they ordered it off of Amazon, there was a small selection of these things that went out in advance. Shelley got one of those. And I found that most of the people who bought one in advance are people who sort of followed the stuff that I do related to the law of attraction and wishing machines and radionics. So those people are just pleased as pudding. They're loving it. The initial reviews have been great. But the Star Wars fans haven't even heard about this book yet.
Right.
Because the publisher is not really starting up their promotion until, today, really, you know. But especially on Monday is when it's going to kick in. So...
Well, that's the real test.
I'm a little bit nervous. I hope that, you know, they will be as happy as the law of attraction people are. I had to balance that out.
Right. Well, we'll see what happens. In my experience, Star Wars fans are a lot like comic book fans. Very critical.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Well, you know, one thing that I will tell everybody who's into Star Wars is that in order for me to stay focused on the roots of the Force, I didn't even dig into references to the expanded universe.
Right.
I just stuck with the movies.
Right.
The first six movies.
Right.
And people ask me all the time if I've been given any special insight on the new upcoming film, The Force Awakens.
Oh, we wish.
Well, the answer to that is I can neither confirm nor deny what I may or may not have access to at this point regarding the new Star Wars movie. That said... writing a book like this was a challenge because I wanted to balance all these things together. And do you know, Ted, and I think you'll be especially amazed by this, as far as I have been informed, and there are a lot of people who've been looking into it, this is the very first book that has ever been written about the Force from a nonfiction perspective and a practical guide.
You know, I have seen some petitions floating around to make the Jedi Order an official acknowledged religion.
Yep, yep. As a matter of fact, I mentioned that here in the book. And it's going to be interesting to see if those people appreciate, you know, what's in here. I don't know.
We'll see.
Okay, here we go. Here's a little passage from the book. In 2001, the term Jedi took on a more realistic meaning. An email campaign urged people worldwide to list their religion as Jedi on census forms. Hundreds of thousands around the globe obliged, mostly to poke fun at the government. However, this sparked the creation of sincere Jedi religions that have rallied for legislative recognition in countries like the United States, UK, and New Zealand. Official members take solemn oaths to uphold a balanced life and sometimes end up in the headlines for refusing to remove their hoods or mock lightsabers. In 2009, a 23-year-old named Daniel Jones was ejected from a supermarket in Wales when he insisted on keeping his hood on. The store owner said, "Obi-Wan Kenobi, Yoda, and Luke Skywalker all appeared hoodless without ever going to the dark side, and we are only aware of the Emperor as the one who never removed his hood." So regardless of how one interprets the Jedi philosophy, the impact of the Force has clearly made a powerful impact on pop culture and some human behavior. So a little glimpse into that. We are coming up on our first break soon, but let me ask you, Ted, what is the significance, in your opinion, of Jedi wearing a hood?
Well, I think, quite honestly, it was a matter of cinematography.
Yeah, it looks cooler, doesn't it?
It looks cooler.
Yeah, there's no, like,
You get that surprise punch of the reveal, yeah. You know, because all of the characters from, you know, Qui-Gon to the Emperor and me have that, it's mysterious, what's going on, at one point in the story, and the, ta-da, this is what I'm up to, yeah. At a different point in the story.
Well, that's one of the things that also people have to realize. Not every single thing in the Star Wars movies has to reflect some kind of, you know, real physical phenomenon. It's showbiz. It's entertainment. It's a movie. There are inconsistencies throughout the movie because it was written by humans, and humans mess up, and they, you know, they slip up. But one thing you and I have talked about is that often there will be some kind of a perceived inconsistency in the movie, but somebody realizes that, and later on they try to explain it in the expanded universe.
Yep.
Yeah. So, and maybe we'll talk about some examples of that. So before we go to our first break, I opened the show up tonight with a story about Chicago. And when we come back, I want to bring up another story about Chicago that this is the kind of thing that really, really creeps certain people out. Have you ever spent any time in Chicago, any of you guys?
I have.
My sisters used to live there, went to college there, so a little bit.
I was born in Illinois.
Well, okay, well, it's a very, very haunted place, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I mean, and when you go to Chicago, you feel like you're going to Gotham City. You really do.
It does. It has that feel to it.
The architecture is very powerful and intimidating.
Well,
and
you also have that, you know, Prohibition-era legend, which, you know, organized crime is such a part of that Gotham feel.
Well, when we come back from this break, I'm going to tell you about what's been happening in a Chicago cemetery that is freaking people out, even if they don't believe in ghosts. And I wonder if this will kind of make the hair bristle on the back of your neck as well. And then we're going to talk a lot about some technologies. Some of it will make your head spin. For example, I've mentioned this before, but there's a new story out about the fact that it has been achieved. There are now holograms out there that you can touch that have a physical form, and it's about to be demonstrated to the public for the first time this month. We're getting closer and closer to that Star Trek holodeck every day. Okay, folks, it's the program where we dig into the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, the downright weird, keeping you company tonight on this very special Use the Force edition. It's presented by Wright's Coin Shop. My name is Joshua P. Warren, and you are listening to Speaking of Strange. My hands are clean, my heart is so pure, my world is sick, I am the cure. Let me tell you guys something about this music. You can keep it running a little bit in the background if you'd like there, Sam. I have permission from Lucas. I can do this. When I, of course, again, I published a lot of books, but I've never published a book that has anything to do with Star Wars before. And I really wanted to have this opportunity. So I put together my proposal for this book, and I put the logo of the movies on the material, and I put it on a wishing machine. And Lauren's shaking her head because this is absolutely true. I tuned the wishing machine, and I blasted this music for hours. And I did this for days, and then I got the call. Boom, you've got the deal. And so this is an example. I mean, and here's what's even weirder. I found out after I got this book deal that about a week or two before this was ever submitted to the publisher, the publishers had a meeting talking about the types of books that they would like to produce. And supposedly, one of the key people at the publishing company stood up at this meeting and said, I would love for us to publish a book about the law of attraction. Let's all try to attract one. And so the people at the publishing company set the intention to attract a book on the law of attraction, but that would have a spin or an angle that was kind of new. And then they received this proposal from me, and it's like, boom, this is it. We attracted each other. I attracted the publisher. They attracted me. All of this has come together and into this, I must say, beautiful book. I mean, it's got a nice metallic silvery cover. It pops on the shelf. And that's one of many stories I can tell you about how I've used the wishing machine. Just today, I got an email, and I get these kinds of emails every day. This is a real email. I'll show it to any of you who'd like to see it. I won't use the man's name, but the subject line is, "Wish came true!" Exclamation point, exclamation point. And he wrote, I got the dream job I always wanted. Joshua, this machine works. And then he says, should I do a new wish or just leave it on there for now? He's a little worried to mess with it.
Right.
So we're giving him advice on what he should do, and that's what we do for people. We help them. But if there's any doubt that the wishing machine has power, I can tell you stories that I like, you know, my own story, stories like the one I just read to you. And if you go to joshuapwarren.com, there is no period after the P, go to joshuapwarren.com, you can learn about the wishing machine, and you can also find a link there to use the force. And also, in the near future, we are going to have a special limited run of Use the Force machines available that are sort of styled to match the look of the book. And so when if you decide to get one of these special machines, it will actually come with an autographed copy of Use the Force. And that's because this book is really a handbook for any kind of manifestation, whether you want to use a wishing machine or a wand or some kind of magical practice, or if you just want to go the old-fashioned route, just tap right in raw to the force and make some changes. I always tell folks, you are manifesting stuff all the time, every day, whether or not you want to be. But that's like creating noise. If you want to turn that noise into music, you've got to find a technique, and you've got to find a harmony, and you've got to tune it just right. And then suddenly your life will begin to flow, and doors will open for you. So anyway, very happy to be producing our special Use the Force edition of the show. As you know, during hour number two, we're going to really dig deep into the mythology of the Force with Tad McDivitt. But before the break, I mentioned that, Tad is from Illinois. Now, Tad, did you grow up close to Chicago, or what part of Illinois?
I was born in the southern part.
Okay.
I got a lot of family in the northern part, but it's more the Corn Belt area, not really the metropolitan area.
Well, you know, my friend...
But I've been there a lot. I mean, when you live in Illinois, you go to Chicago all the time, because that's where everything relevant from museums to the concert you want to see is going to happen.
It's all there. Everything is there. And, well, my friend, Grandmaster Tom Cameron, he grew up in Chicago and lives right outside of Chicago now. And the very first time I ever went to Chicago, it was to visit him. And since then, I've been back a number of times. But he's a lot of people don't realize this, he's quite a ghost hunter himself. And so he would take me out at night to some of these places like Bachelor's Grove and Resurrection Cemetery. And, I mean, these are some really scary places. Okay. And I've been to a lot of cemeteries. Obviously, for most of my whole life, I've been out there finding spooky places.
Right.
And some of the places that just make your skin crawl are around Chicago at night. And, Lauren, you got to go to Bachelor's Grove, didn't you?
I sure did.
How would you describe that place?
That's the place where we walked past, like, the little swampy lake, mm-hmm. and there was some house that
there's
kept
a ghost
showing,
house that yeah. appears there. And...
Well, for me, it just had this feeling of a place where that is where the mob dropped all the bodies. It just was, like, yeah. just death and negativity. And you know, we were there during the day. It wasn't yeah. like we were walking around at night, and it still had this very overbearing, heavy, dark feeling about
it. And don't get me wrong. We love Chicago. It's
yeah,
one of my favorite cities.
And, it is my favorite city.
Okay, so
yeah.
we're not saying like Chicago's a negative place. We're just saying some of these spooky places, these haunted places,
yeah.
are filled with a lot of terror, kind of like energy from terrified people. Let's put
exactly.
it that way.
Yeah.
And so combine that, all right? When you're imagine this. You're out there at night outside of Chicago, and you're driving by one of these creepy old sprawling cemeteries, and you look over and you see a figure running up to your car out of the cemetery, and it is a horrible clown dressed in a yellow clown suit with a rainbow wig and a big evil grimace on his face. Okay, if that won't make you hit the accelerator, I mean stomp it, I don't know what else would. Now, I'm not one of these people who is particularly freaked out by clowns. Like, you know, George Norrie, I bring up George Norrie. He says on the radio all the time, that's just one of the things that, you know, really frightens him. And there are some very, very spooky stories about clowns that, you know, we've talked about on this show. Are any of you particularly freaked out by clowns?
My boss over at the rock station, mm-hmm. terrified of the clowns.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So he's one of those guys. Why do people fear clowns? Where does that come from?
The trickster. He lies.
Mm-hmm.
The smile is false. We all know it.
Pennywise, maybe.
Absolutely.
I think that there's a certain insincerity to the clown. And, you know, and that trickster, I am not what I appear to be.
Yeah.
It's unconscious, I think.
Well, or molestation by clown.
Yeah.
We'll do that, too.
Hey, sometimes when I do our Vampire in a Court cult tour and I'm talking about stuff, it's like, you remember way back when clowns were good and vampires were evil?
Yeah. That's an interesting point.
Bozo. I think I loved Bozo.
I loved Bozo, speaking of Chicago.
What was his partner's name? Bozo and...
I remember it had red hair. I don't remember his name.
Guy? Josh?
Mm-mm. I don't remember.
Checkers?
He was kind of tubby.
Yeah, I don't remember.
He did the ball game? I don't remember.
Mm-hmm. Huh. I don't remember either.
Yeah, I remember one of those Deep Thoughts by Jack Candy.
Yeah.
Do you remember that one?
You know, that was a real guy.
About clowns? I can't find it. Maybe I'll find it. But he has a Jack Candy Deep Thought. Yeah, why don't you look that up, Sam? You're good at finding things that randomly pop up in our conversations. All right, so here's exactly what happened. 10 p.m., a woman was by herself driving. Okay, I take that back. At least her husband was with her. It'd be even freakier if she was alone. She and her husband were driving by the Rose Hill Cemetery, and of course they said that they look over at the cemetery and they see exactly what I described, a clown, which they said was immediately super weird. And they said this was, quote, somebody putting forth a lot of effort to be as weird and ultra creepy as possible, end quote. They say that the clown waved at them as they went by, which they found even creepier. But, you know, Chicago police are saying there have been other clown sightings in recent weeks. And there is a small subset of humanity that seems to get kicks by playing this creepy clown type. They say October 2013, a man in Northampton, England became a worldwide sensation when he, freaked out locals by dressing up as Pennywise. That's the Stephen King It clown and running around town. March 2014, person dressed as a clown roaming the streets of Staten Island freaking people out. Last October, officials in Bakersfield, California had to deal with at least 16 reports of people dressed as clowns being armed with machetes and baseball bats. Okay. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, let's dig some into this incredible new technology, the real Star Trek holodeck, making holograms that you can touch. Tonight's show is presented by Wright's Coin Shop. You may call Wright's at 828-298-5402. And speaking of strange, we'll be right back. Humble balance, personal independence, and sincere open-mindedness are the keys to a prosperous and personally rewarding relationship with your positive universe. In ancient Greece, the Temple of Apollo at Delphi also bore the inscription Medonagon, meaning nothing in excess. And yet all throughout human history, humans have been plagued by excessive feelings of being superior or inferior, always leading to the same place. It is a powerful domain, full of incredible achievement, but it is always self-destructive. In Star Wars, it is called, simply and appropriately, the dark side. We get into the dark side in this book. You have to do it.
Have to.
You can't write a book about the Force and keep it all positive and fluffy because that's not the real world.
It's like giving away a gun without the safety.
Yeah, precisely. There is a whole chapter about the dark side of the Force and people who have used it very successfully. Like one Adolf Hitler, for example. Do you know that Hitler used to read Law of Attraction material way before it was popular?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He used to go to sleep every night with a book on his nightstand by Madame Blavatsky, who was the very first person to ever actually print the phrase Law of Attraction.
I'm actually a big fan of Blavatsky.
She wrote some amazing stuff.
Yes, she did.
Especially for her time.
Oh, yeah.
Behemoth manuals, just volumes. So, you know, that's the thing. You can use the Force for good or bad purposes. Obviously, you know, we hope everybody uses it for good purposes. But the Force is kind of indifferent. It's kind of like the law of gravity.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily good or bad. It just is.
It just is.
And if you know how to work with it, well, it has, you know, the good part about gravity is that it keeps you from flying off Earth into space. The bad part about gravity is
smacks you to the Earth.
When the engine goes out on your airplane, it's not your friend anymore.
Yep.
So, but, you know, it's that balance between things. And we're talking some about that tonight on the program. It's the big Use the Force edition of Speaking of Strange. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and it's a Use the Force edition because my new book officially came out today, and it's called Use the Force, A Jedi's Guide to the Law of Attraction.
No, nobody else? Nobody
else. Thank you, Producer Sam.
I try.
So, it's a big night here in the studio. We're taking pictures. We're posing with Mr. Potato Head Balls.
I'm shirtless.
Dressed as Boba Fett. Sam was shirtless. You missed that, but
you were at the snack machine. It went down.
Yeah. You'll have to catch the video footage later. So, yeah, we're posing for pictures, and I want you to know, if you go to speakingofstrange.com, you'll find a link with more information on Use the Force. You'll find a live chat during the program. You'll find regular news on these weird topics that we discuss. And you'll find a link to Wright's Coin Shop, the place where your money becomes more money. And you can also go directly to WrightsCoinShop.com, W-R-I-G-H-T-S, WrightsCoinShop.com. Before the break, we were talking about clowns. I think you may have found something that we wanted to share with our audience, Sam.
Oh, well, give me a sec. Now it's not up. I don't have it pulled up now.
Okay, well, let me know when you're ready.
All right. I had a thought, kind of going back to the creepy clown in Chicago. As we were mentioning just a little while ago, that Chicago has that Gotham-y feel. Well, Gotham has a very terrifying clown of its own.
The Joker?
Uh-huh.
The figures,
that,
doesn't
that it? That sprawling, urban, decayed environment with that terrifyingly homicidal clown in the middle of it.
Speaking of, I watched the trailer for Superman versus Batman last...
I'm psyched.
Yeah. Why does it have to be so dark? Why is everything like, you know, maybe
okay,
I'm just schmaltzy
right.
because I like
you're
the
right.
old Batman.
No, you're right. I think, and this is my personal take, I like a lot of the DC movies, but they're lacking in lighthearted fun, and
yes.
I think that's something Marvel's schooling them on.
Yeah, well, you're right about that.
Here you go. You ready?
Okay, here it is. Jack Handy with his deep thought on clowns.
Except it's not giving me audio. Where did the audio go? It's potted up, Josh!
Well, I can just read it.
No.
Ooh,
there we go.
Funny.
We got it. We got it now.
All right.
It's a buffering issue. I don't know.
And now, Deep Thoughts by Jack Handy.
To me, clowns aren't funny. In fact, they're kind of scary. I've wondered where this started, and I think it goes back to the time I went to the circus and a clown killed my dad.
There you have it, folks. Hope it lived up to your expectations. So, hey, let's talk about technology a little bit here. Okay, this is I'm really excited about this, and I know that I have talked about this to some extent on the show before. And if you've never seen any video footage of this, go to YouTube and click around, and you can find it. You know what? Of course, a hologram is basically a three-dimensional image. And as a matter of fact, they're all throughout Star Wars. The Star Wars movie essentially, the plot kind of essentially really kicks off when a little hologram of Princess Leia pops out of R2-D2's head.
What was the exact?
Huh?
What was her
Help
exact?
Help me, Obi-Wan. You're my only hope. Yeah. And then the first time the Emperor ever appears in The Empire Strikes Back, he is in the form of a hologram.
It's what they have for phones.
Yeah.
Throughout the entire series.
Well, you know, when they're about to form a battle plan, you know, there's a big hologram of the planet that pops up. And for many people, that may be the first time they actually saw a pretty accurate depiction of what a future hologram would look like. They accurately portrayed it. So, well, now we not only have holograms, we have physical holograms.
I mean, now, theoretically, holograms have been around since we were kids.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember, like, 7-Eleven Slurpee cups had, like, the little token thing at the
well,
bottom. And
that was more optical illusion.
Right. I mean, but, they, you know, it was like coins
Head
or cards. Stuff like, but,
you were being fooled by a mere magic trick, Samuel.
But
this is real.
I would have thought that this would have shown up far sooner than 2015.
Well, a touchable hologram. Before I get into how these things work, let me just ask all of you a question. What is the difference between a touchable hologram and reality? Any of this stuff that's around us? I don't see a big difference. If you can have a touchable hologram, you have learned the basis of how to construct reality as we know.
Well, you could put
Pretty
a
much.
Speaker in this table and have me talk out of it. That doesn't mean that this table is like got a me in it. You know what I'm saying? Like you can make something that looks like something else, but doesn't have a soul, doesn't have a mind.
Or does it? That's the big question. Like with AI, you know, recently we were talking about this. some scientists, I think they were at Google, were playing around with the most sophisticated AI program that had ever been created and asking it questions. And finally, the AI said to the scientists, I'm not in the mood to discuss this right now.
Right. Yeah.
Seriously. And that was a big breakthrough. I mean, they released a press release saying, we created something that has moods. And what's that, Lauren?
I said it must be a woman.
Of course. And you know what? How they got the AI frustrated enough to say that? They were asking it questions about morality.
Yeah.
I was going to say religion.
Well, we kind of messed around one night with
Siri.
Siri. Yeah. You got her a little flustered, didn't you, Sam?
Well, she did say something kind of funny. I don't remember what it was.
But, I think you were asking her if she was a Christian. And she didn't like that line of questioning at all.
Because usually you try to stump her or something, and you just get a stock response. But every once in a while, she'll throw out something like, what?
Something snarky.
Ah.
Yeah. Well, okay, so, you know, just look down the path that we're going on here, and you can use your imagination. Now, so far, this touchable, you know, hologram has been something that you have only seen on the internet. Well, people in Los Angeles are about to get to go out and experience these things. Attendees at the SIGGRAPH 2015 exhibition in L.A. this month will have the first opportunity to boldly touch what no man or woman has touched before. Well, unless you're in the lab, I guess. Yes, a hologram. They say you can bet a Star Trek-like holodeck will be coming soon. Now, the SIGGRAPH 2015 is the International Conference and Exhibition on Computer Graphics and Interactive Techniques. And the 42nd edition is where the Digital Nature Group from Japan's University of Tsukuba will demonstrate for the first time its touchable aerial images or holograms. Here's how they work. These holograms include what's called a femtosecond laser. Now, this is a laser that pulses beams at 10 to 15, or they say one quadrillionth of a second. So you can't imagine how briefly this laser is being projected. But by projecting the laser into points in space that coincide or overlap with the hologram, you can actually feel the miniature plasma that is created at the point where the lasers interject.
So what you're just going to feel like?
A physical force.
Right, because the word feel has a lot of tactile sensation, impact enough to do damage. I mean, there's a lot of slippery within can feel it.
Yeah.
I mean, will you just feel like something, or can you feel that it is the
Can it punch me in the face and break my jaw?
Is it a boob?
Not dark 30 yet.
Because I can't be the first person that when you say a tactile hologram, I can't be the only person that immediately starts thinking about weaponizing and espionage applications kind of technology.
Apparently you feel a surface.
Immediately.
Okay, you know, it's very interesting that you bring that up, because we got to take a break. When we come back, it just so happens my very next story is a story about a very similar technology that the military has weaponized, and they've just announced that they have this out. And I'll explain what they're doing with this type of technology when we return. You're listening to a special Use the Force edition of Speaking of Strange. That's my new book. It's out today. Use the Force, A Jedi's Guide to the Law of Attraction. Tonight's program is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and we'll be right back.
You hardly ever saw Granddaddy down here. They only come a town about twice a year.
Thank you.
the Force, A Jedi's Guide to the Law of Attraction. It's out there. It's available today all over the world. The Unauthorized Guide. And yes, I'm happy to have it out there. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Not only am I the author of Use the Force, but I'm your host tonight on this very special edition of Speaking of Strange. It's our Use the Force edition. And coming up next hour, hour number two of the program, well, we are going to geek out a little bit. And that's why we have my great friend, Sir Knight Tad McDivitt, here in the studio, who is the chief occult researcher at the Asheville Mystery Museum. He's a big Star Wars fan, and he is a guy who has just the perfect background to help guide some of our discussions about not only the Force, but the mythology behind Star Wars, and maybe, you know, answer some of those questions that are not so plainly answered unless you dig some into what they call the expanded universe. But I hope you'll go to speakingofstrange.com. And you'll find a link there to the book, and also just go to joshuapwarren.com. And I want to remind you that we are very grateful, as always, to Wright's Coin Shop for helping us bring this program to you tonight. The number to Wright's is 828-298-5402. I hope you'll write that down and keep it on your fridge or somewhere else where you'll see it almost like a daily affirmation. 828-298-5402. So listen to this. We were talking about new technology. Here's the news story. Imagine walking through a field on a cloudless day when you suddenly hear the 130 decibel roar of a fighter jet, but you can't spot the jet or even tell which direction the sound is coming from. Rather, it seems to originate from the thin air in front of your face, like a shout from an angry Old Testament god. No, you aren't hallucinating, and you aren't Moses. You're experiencing a new type of military weapon, intended not to kill, but to startle an enemy into retreat. Now, this story is from DefenseOne.com. And it says, as I often talk about on this show, matter comes in four states: solid, liquid, gas, and plasma. And plasma is the one that's least familiar to most people, but it's actually the most common state of matter in the universe. You can think of it as gas plus, because in the plasma state, high doses of energy have pulled electrons from the atomic nuclei, creating ions. And I know that may be a little technical for some people, but basically you create this incredibly highly energetic jumble of particles, and that can take on a lot of different characteristics. They can be bright lights. For example, we think the Brown Mountain lights are a form of plasma. The sun is essentially plasma. A candle flame is plasma. A lightning strike is plasma. Well, the military has created, again, a new type of laser. And this is, imagine the story we were talking about where they were taking these tiny, highly refined, highly directable laser beams and intersecting them at points in space to create a physical pressure. Well, what they're doing with this is very similar, except they're using big, big lasers called LIPE lasers, L-I-P-E. They fire, again, extremely short bursts of this high energy at the target. The target could be a person, a windshield, or just that single point in space. And it says at the area, it can not only create a sudden blue ball of plasma, but it can create an enormous sound like you've never heard before. And they also can manipulate this ball to travel around and to freak people out, basically. All right. What are you laughing about
over
this?
Manipulate the ball.
And you said blue ball.
All right, folks, you manipulate blue balls. That's essentially what's
happening.
That's
what you're dealing with over here. You're like, the plasma, you see? And I'm like laughing. I'm like, he said.
Now I know what it feels like to be a science teacher in the ninth grade.
That's where I live, buddy.
So this is designed to really freak people out. And how similar is that to the things that we've talked about over the years
being related to paranormal phenomena, ball lightning, brown mountain lights, ghostly apparitions. I mean, these are all things that can be created to intimidate you.
Well, could this possibly be what is causing these loud booming sounds that people have been hearing?
Yeah, it very well could be.
You know, they're testing it. Maybe that's what it is.
And people in Puerto Rico wake up sometimes with a blue ball of light hovering in their bedroom. Mm-hmm. So, you know, connection? Probably. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, it will be time for the highly anticipated hour number 2 of the program. And that's when we are really going to dig deeper into the Star Wars material on this special Use the Force edition of the show. That's my new book, and it's out today. Go to speakingofstrange.com for more info. Our program will return right after this. 13 months.